Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.
Today we're continuing our series on Franciscan spirituality and on God's work in nature. The Christian conception of nature frees the created world from things like absolute determinism, fate, destiny. Even though it's not gifted with reason, nature isn't a mixture of blind and fearful forces without any meaning or finality. It's not the result of chaos. It's not closed within itself. It comes from the Creator, and it opens up to Him. Even though it's essentially distinct from God, nature carries within it the mark of His power, His wisdom, and His love. It's a physical world created by a free and intelligent cause with a capital C, and therefore in it there is the necessity sustained by unchangeable laws and the fruitfulness derived from an intrinsic force of development. But it's a rational necessity and fecundity. The motive and the end of nature's existence is nothing less than the divine will itself. Nature is in effect dependent on a rational cause which produces from nothing and rationally animates all things. The physical universe, therefore, is stirred from the inside by a force that renders it active and living. And that force launches it towards its creative cause, with a capital C again, the cause from which it derives its own goodness, beauty, efficiency. So the goodness and beauty of nature is actually only a relative goodness and beauty. It simply participates in a very, very small way in the goodness and the beauty of the Creator. The ontological and structural consistency of creatures, which is the moving force of the universe, must be found in the cause of it all, a cause with a capital C, which is power, wisdom, and infinite goodness, and therefore creative, says Blessed John Duns Scotus. The creature, he says, always depends in its creation and in its conservation. It depends equally on God in its being, the divine will always being the reason for its being, says Scotus. And as St. Augustine noted in his work on the City of God, everything is the work of a creative intelligence that, in an orderly and a hierarchically way, has fashioned the creature. The creative intelligence willed the mineral world. He willed the vegetable world, the animal world, man, the angels as well. God willed what is necessary as necessary, what's contingent as contingent, what's free as free. So the universe is a poem of order which shuns dissolving fragmentation. Dante in his Paradiso sings in the first canticle, "All things among themselves possess an order, and this order is the form that makes the universe like God," he says. And with that in mind, we can see how the fragmentation and the moral and social and political disorder and breakdown of our culture today is truly a revolt against creation, because it's a revolt against the Creator Himself. So God, one, creates the universe. Two, He also conserves the universe. The beings created by God are not abandoned to themselves, as the mechanical universe of the ancient philosophers Democritus and Lucretius would have us believe. The love with a capital L, who chose, predestined, and created all things, also governs them with providential care. Scotus says, "According to the faith and to our reason, we must say that God, in His general providence, sustains all things, each according to its nature, and in as much as things depend on God for their being, they also depend on them, on Him for their conservation," again says Blessed John Duns Scotus. We know God is the perfect and absolute being. Creatures have their being from God in various measures and in various means of participation in Him, and so they are relative and contingent. Creatures can't subsist nor persist in their being without being continually dependent on God, who sustains them, who sustains us. And God, who created the world, possesses it, substantiates it, and maintains it in being. He governs it and cares for it, even in the particulars. So in truth, it's God who's in the details, not the devil who's in the details. Nothing escapes the Lord. And as St. Augustine says, nihil igitur causu fit in mundum. Nothing happens by chance in the world. Nothing happens in this world by mere chance. So even though the world, and especially the Western world, has become a breeding ground for evil in the past 60 or 70 years or so, we know that God is still in control, that God is still guiding and governing all things. And in the midst of the nihilistic darkness that engulfs us, we cling to the words of St. Paul, Romans 8:28, where the apostle assures us, all things work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So with his infinite virtue, God makes everything exist, and he provides for everything, from the lilies of the field to the birds of the air to men and women and all things. Scotus quotes Augustine, who says, if this tenacious virtuosity ceased for one moment to rule and direct the things that have been created, their various species would at once cease to exist, and every nature would collapse into nothingness. It is not, you see, like a mason building houses. When he is finished, he goes away, and his work goes on standing. When he has stopped working and has gone away, no, the world would not be able to go on standing for a single moment if God withdraws from it his controlling hand, says St. Augustine. So everything depends essentially on God, the creator and the conserver, for whom creating, forming, governing, conserving, it's all one and the same thing for God. And since the creature always actually depends on God as his creator, we say that the conservation is a positive action of God which continues his creative action. It's almost like a continual creation that God does all the time. Creation and conservation can be distinguished from the point of view of ideas, but effectively regarding God, they're not distinct. The one says the other. The one, says Scotus, includes the other. Creation includes conservation, and vice versa. So the Heavenly Father, who created all things from nothing, can and must be conceived as Providence with a capital P, as a true provider. Your providence, O Father, governs all things. We read in the Old Testament Book of Wisdom, Wisdom 14, verse 3. And Jesus, who revealed the Father to us, makes us understand above all the Father's vigilant, personal, truly paternal, loving, providential care. The ancient church fathers like St. Athenagoras, St. Theophilus of Antioch, St. Irenaeus, Minucius Felix, they derived the concept of providence from the gospel, which had at that time just been recently spread throughout the world. And they vigorously defended that concept. From the gospel, St. Francis and his sons developed a filial trust and a serene abandonment to divine providence, which is the basis and foundation of what we call Franciscan optimism about life and about creation. So let's ask Our Lady today for the grace to thank the Lord for the creation, for the beauty and goodness of creation. Let's also ask her to help us trust more in the Lord's providential care, remembering again another maxim from the Apostle where he says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Romans 5, verse 20. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. Amen.